Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, we are loaded today, and this is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are live in Los Angeles on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me. Packed, actually, today. A lot of football stuff today. A lot of NFL news. Breaking stuff is happening all over the league. Peyton Manning involved in some of it. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. You know, all teams in sports, they want you to believe their team is different. Our team is guttier. Our team is smarter. We got better players. Everybody's trying to tell me and remind me and convince me their team is different. And I'm watching Toronto and Milwaukee, and they're the same team. One's in Canada. One's over in Milwaukee. They're the same team. Both have one star, Giannis in Toronto and Milwaukee, and Kawhi Leonard in Toronto, and they bring it every night. That doesn't mean they don't have off nights where their shooting percentage doesn't dip or they miss a free throw or two. And then every night, whichever star, Kawhi with the Raptors or Giannis with Milwaukee, can get a second guy to play a little over his head, that team wins. Let's go back to game one. Brooke Lopez was great. Brooke Lopez generally isn't great. But Brooke Lopez in game one for Milwaukee had a huge fourth quarter. His hair was on fire. He had 29 points. He hit four threes. Oh, and Milwaukee won because Giannis got a second guy to play over his head. Then in game two, Milwaukee, Ilyasova plays really well, plus 22, 7 of 11 from the field, plays a little over his head, and Milwaukee wins game two. And Kawhi's thinking, I need guys to step up for me. Then we go to game three in Canada. Oh, what do you know? Pascal Siakam. 25 points, plus 12, big night. Hit some key baskets in the second half. Kawhi gets a guy to play a great playoff game, and he wins. And then last night, what do you know? Kyle Lowry, wildly inconsistent in the playoffs, is 25 points, 10 for 10 at the free throw line, 6 for 11 field goals, and Kawhi gets the guy to play over his head in the playoffs. And now the series is tied at 2-2. See, that's the difference. Golden State knows what they get every night from a bunch of guys. Steph gives you 30 now. And Clay's going to give you 20 now. And Draymond Green's going to give you incredible energy and probably give you a 15, 9, and 8 every night. And Andre Iguodala's going to give you something really good defensively, late situationally. And I'm not even counting Kevin Durant, who would be guaranteed money. These are the same team. Giannis is driving to the arena every night in this series, crossing his fingers, hoping inconsistent Chris Middleton steps up big. Or Eric Bledsoe, who averaged 16 in the regular season, and now is averaging 8 in this series. And Kawhi's driving from his apartment in Toronto, getting to the arena and crossing his fingers that Siakam, Lowry, somebody, although he never knows who it's going to be, can play great. And by the way, this is why, precisely why, stars team up. So they don't have to drive to the arenas, crossing their fingers, not really sure who's going to step up. Steph never has that issue. Even with Kevin Durant out, even with Boogie Cousins out, he knows what he's getting from Draymond. He knows what he's getting from Clay. You know what the NBA playoffs are? They're a lie detector. That's what they are. A lot of people are telling you there's something. Hey, I can be great, but are you just great for a game like Brooke Lopez, or can you be great for a series like Kawhi? Lie detector goes off. Are you really in shape, or are you in playoff shape, James Harden? You tell me you're clutch. Yeah, maybe Tuesday night in Sacramento, but are you clutch at the free throw line? Are you clutch in crisis deep into a playoff game? Who's really a star and just has a night like a star? These are a big lie detector test, and Toronto and Milwaukee fans are trying to convince you they're special and they're different, and it's the same team. Outside of Kawhi and Giannis, you're just crossing your fingers, and it's a different number two every night. Who's going to show up and play over their head and elevate me to a win? And in four straight games, the star that got that won the game, and that's why they're tied. They're the same team. All right, here's the latest rumor on Kevin Durant. He's a big deal. Now the Clippers and the Knicks are equally dangerous to sign the Warriors star. I was told yesterday, before the show, I got a text that Brooklyn's in it. And so Rich Kleiman is his agent. And Rich Kleiman yesterday was talking and Wall Street Journal, and here's what he said.
What you're saying is that this has not been decided. There's no hidden handshake agreement.
No.
With the New York Knicks?
No.
No, nothing like that?
No.
Okay. All right.
That is 100% undecided. And I'm waiting on Kevin, you know? That's the truth. I think there's a feeling that this thing is like war games and everybody's kind of like...
playing a role.
Yeah, playing chess like years out. But when somebody gets to the level of basketball that he's at, you can't juggle focus like that. There's so many things he's juggling too. He's not scripting his future while he's playing the way he plays and practices the way he practices.
LeBron's moved three times. Didn't Cleveland going back take us by surprise? I know for a fact he didn't know he was going to Miami until 48 hours or 24 hours out. I mean, I've moved four times in my career. Three of the four, 72 hours out, I was undecided. This move was the only one I knew in advance. And that was a lot of family stuff. But I keep hearing that he's locked in on this team and locked in on that team. So let's line up the places where I'm told he really likes. And you tell me, would you have a little indecision? Let's talk about the New York Knicks. Remember, 100%. And I've been told it's 100%. By a current player and a former player. Okay, the owner's bad with the Knicks. The roster's weak. The recent history is awful. And oh, by the way, he could make more money in Golden State than the Knicks. You don't think you're going to have some doubts about that? Well, let's talk about the Clippers. Roster, mostly guys, role players. History, do I have to explain the history of the Clippers? Brand, second biggest team in their own arena. What about Jerry West? Okay, what about him? He's 81 next week. They're not rolling together. Okay, let's size up the Brooklyn Nets, because that's the one I'm hearing now, Brooklyn Nets. Once again, they're a little brother, second biggest brand in their own city. They have an owner from overseas, and the Nets are about his eighth biggest business. And if he does attract KD, it'll be his third reboot in about 6 years. They have three winning seasons in 12. And oh, by the way, if they were going to land Anthony Davis, am I wrong here? They'd basically have to trade the entire roster. You telling me Knicks, Clippers, and Brooklyn, I don't have some worries and concerns and doubts about those franchises? What about the Lakers? What about the Lakers? Have you seen their organizational flow chart? It looks like a poorly constructed spider web. And by the way, the team, I'm assured that he's leaving. This one, there's no chance he stays. The Golden State Warriors, let me remind you of the last several years and the images. Three of them with Golden State. Parades, MVP trophies, and rings. And that's the one you're assuring me has no chance to keep him. I don't really buy that. And let me throw this little wrench into it. Where is LeBron James, somebody that Kevin Durant has at least deep respect for, admiration for, used to practice together, especially years ago? Whereas LeBron, by moving to Miami and winning titles, accelerated player mobility, could I not argue this disastrous move to the Lakers has pumped the brakes for everybody's player mobility? LeBron could be the guy that accelerated it and stopped it. So this idea, everybody knows where Kevin Durant's going. There's a reason this is the sixth different report on Kevin Durant's destination. And I'm not Kevin Durant, but I've moved a lot. And in three or four of my moves, you get the yellow pad out, pro, con, yes, no. It's hard. It is hard. And the one you keep assuring me has no shots, the one all I get's parades, trophies, and rings. And that's the one we know he's not staying at. Because I still contend that's the best place for him. Never forget, Marcus Thompson just wrote a book on KD, as close to him as any media member. Never forget what he told us a month ago.
I'm not buying that at the last moment he's sitting at a meeting with somebody and he can't be swayed. Either way, to stay or go.
Because that's his personality.
Yeah. He could think it's done right now, whether that's staying or going. I still think later on, like, he can be swayed. Like, he's a guy, he feels everything. He sits in the room. He's present. He's got to weigh this stuff. We still have three or four more series, if they win a championship, of data to insert into this equation, right? Like, I don't know if, even if he thinks he knows the answer, I don't think he knows the answer. I'm not buying it.
So, the story this morning, the Clippers are in it. What I was told yesterday morning before the show, Brooklyn and Kyrie and KD are very much in it. I was told a week ago the Knicks were a done deal, and 3 weeks ago from a former MVP in the league, the Knicks were a done deal, and everybody keeps telling me LeBron still has a chance. Kevin Durant has not made up his mind.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
You ever see those goofy studies that you see the study that comes out and you're like, what was the point of a study? I looked up three this morning. Cell phones and driving don't mix. They did a study on that. High heels can make your feet hurt. Yeah, really, your feet at this angle, walking down around for 4 or 5 hours. I've said this to my wife. I don't understand high heels. I can't stand like that for 4 seconds at the gym on that little inverted wooden plank. I don't know how you do it for 6 hours. Oh, here's another gem this morning. Employees hate meetings. Oh, no, here's another one. Cocaine and alcohol are not great together. They do studies on this stuff. And the reason I bring this up is because there are certain studies, and you say, you think? Here's a story. Sources close to LeBron James have expressed concern that Magic's quick exit appears to threaten off-season plans. You think? Let me get this straight. LeBron's camp is like Magic quitting and then napalming the organization on national TV. I don't think it's going to help us any when we go get top free agents. That's cell phones and driving don't mix. Listen, I want you to just think about this for a second. We got 4 or 5 top free agents, you know, Kawhi, this and that. So just think about this. So you're Kawhi Leonard or Jimmy Butler, and you walk into, let's say, the Miami Heat. You walk into the office, and you have to meet 3 people, and it's very concise. Mickey Arison's the owner. He made his money in Carnival Cruise Lines. You can talk about that for a couple minutes. And then here's Pat Riley, who's won rings in different roles in 4 different decades and is the best-looking 70-year-old man in America. And then there's Eric Spoelstra. Oh, he coached LeBron. They won a bunch of titles. And then the meetings are over, and you drive away thinking, billionaire, legend, title coach. And let's say you get on a plane and you fly to the next destination. Remember, I'm a free agent. So I'm walking into these buildings, and I spend the day in a building. So we could go over to the war. Let's just go over to the Clipper building. So I'm Jimmy Butler and Kawhi Leonard, and I walk over to the Clipper building. And the first guy I meet is Steve Ballmer, the bald guy, big energy. Oh, that's the Microsoft legend. And then I meet Jerry West, the logo, and Michael Winger. I don't know. I've heard about you. You're the next Jerry West. And no, there's the championship coach, Doc Rivers. So I spend like 3 hours talking to these guys, and I leave. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's pretty simple. That's pretty concise. And then I go to the Warriors, and I got Joe Lacob. I fly up to San Francisco if I'm one of these players like Kawhi Leonard or I'm Jimmy Butler. I meet Joe Lacob. He's a venture capitalist, Silicon Valley billionaire. ooh, I never met him, but who are you? So, yeah, I'm one of those Silicon Valley guys. Oh, and then I see Bob Myers, who played, and Steve Kerr, who played. And I've been watching Kerr on TV for years. And then I meet, like, the three or four guys. KD may or may not be there, but, oh, I've seen Steph Clay. And I get my car or my plane, and I leave. It's just very simple. It's very concise. It's not confusing. Billionaire who you may not know, but he's got a cool story. Microsoft, Carnival Cruise, Silicon Valley. Legendary guy, Pat Riley, Jerry West, Steve Kerr, right below that. And then like a cool championship coach or a cool championship player. I've interviewed, by the way, like 5, 6, 7, 8 different times in my life. And then ain't going to the Laker organization. And they say, okay, Kawhi, listen, here's Jeannie Buss, the owner. We want you to meet her best friend, Linda Rambus, who never played basketball, but they're friends and they talk a lot. And her husband, Kurt's also in the building. Then we'll shuttle you over to Magic. No, wait, he quit. Frank Vogel's the new coach. Jason Kidd isn't here yet. Tim Harris is in operations, food and beverage. But actually, he makes some decisions, too. We'd like you to just stop by his office. Here's Rob Pelinka, best friends with Kobe. We're not sure Kobe will be here, but they're on the phone all day. But here's Rob Pelinka. He sort of looks like Rob Lowe. And oh, by the way, LeBron's not here today. His agent, Rich Paul, is. Oh, wait, we just got a call. They're both gone. They'll come back later. And then you get in your plane and you leave and you're like, oh, good hell, what was that? Who did I meet? What was that? Huh? Wild. More is not better when you're trying to bring in elite people with options. What is better is fewer, smarter, well-known, dependable, good resume. So when LeBron's camp is a little concerned about the Magic situation, Magic created clarity. You may not like Magic and you may not like Luke, but it was really easy when it was Jeannie, oh, I remember her dad, Magic, oh my God, Magic Johnson, and Luke Walton. That's pretty simple. In the last month, it's gone from that to a spider web and a poorly designed one.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
One of the most connected guys in the NBA. You played the Big Three Celtics, the OKC Thunder, the Cavs with LeBron, and you got a little Pelicans. Kendrick Perkins, 15 years in the NBA. So I was saying to start the show, I feel like Milwaukee and Toronto, it's the same team. I got a dude, and both Kawhi and Giannis, frankly, look a little tired because you have to rely on Kawhi. First of all, let's start with that premise. I think they're the same team.
I agree. I think they're evenly matched. It could go either way. Like, if these guys was to play each other 10 times, it'd probably be 5-5.
By the way, last time you were on this show, I thought the series was over. You told me, you said Toronto was going to even it up.
Yeah. I mean, you know, because at the end of the day, I felt like game one, Toronto felt like they should have won that game. So I think they have a lot of confidence, and Toronto have a lot of experience. But I agree with you. I think these teams are evenly matched. And to Kawhi and Giannis both look fatigued, but they're guarding each other. And it's a lot of battling down low. And I think this gonna come down to this series comes down to the others. I mean, like on the road, Marcus Gasol was horrible. And then at home, he was great. Kyle Lowry, you don't know if you'll get 2 points or 30 points. Eric Bledsoe, I mean.
What happened?
He's been a no-show basically these whole playoffs. I mean, George Hill has been
better.
Yes, the best point guard on Milwaukee team. And then you get Chris Middleton, who just went off last night, but they still lost. And then, like, Siakam struggled. So I think they evenly matched, but it's going to come down to the others. And, you know, the series don't start basically until one team wins on the road.
You know, I want to talk about this time in the NBA because I think it's very clear that, I mean, look, just take the Warriors.
Right.
Iggy's hurt. Mm-hmm. Boogie and KD are out, and Steph's not 100%. Let's take the Raptors. Kawhi Leonard shot. He looks exhausted. Giannis now can't hit a free throw. So he's got some mental or physical fatigue.
Right.
So you look around all these teams. Houston looked tired.
Right.
Harden looked tired from having to chase Steph around. So Damian Lillard, by the way, got hurt. So when you get to the end of an NBA season,
mm-hmm.
we always think it's coaching, and we think it's schematics. Is it? What is it?
No, it comes down to heart and will. and who wanted the most. I mean, you could do, you could watch all the film you want, you could scout guys, but at the end of the day, you know everyone's tendency. So it comes down to who's going to do the little things and who's going to grind it out. It comes down to who wanted the most, because you get deep into the playoffs, and I think that's what Golden State hold an edge over everybody. They've been here before. So at the end of the day, they know how to train them bodies. They know what proper rest to get. They've been here before. You seen Dame Lillard. It seemed like he was just so fatigued. And you watching Giannis right now. He's fatigued because he never been this deep in the playoffs.
Okay, so you played with that old Boston team.
Right.
Okay, KG was old. Ray Allen, Paul Pierce. So take me to that old Celtic team. Did Doc – I always heard stories that when Doc would take those Celtics on the road, he wouldn't practice, but he didn't want to miss practice in Boston.
Right.
Because then everybody could see it. And that I always heard Doc Rivers took care of the old guys on that team.
He took care of everybody. So the thing with Doc was that he rather you give it to him in the game than at practice. And we never really practiced. Even our practice days were like just coming in, getting shots and weightlifting. Guys who wasn't playing, you know, then they'll have to go out and maybe play 3-on-3. But guys who were playing heavy minutes, it was – our practice days were weights, treatments, and shots. And Doc knew this, and he was preparing us for the marathon and not the sprint. And I think that's what Doc, you know.
That's what they're doing in Golden State.
Absolutely. And you got to give – and to me, Steve Kerr don't get enough credit. His coaching staff don't get enough credit because, you know, with Iggy out, Cousins out, and KD out last game, He did a great job of putting guys on the floor together, and his rotations were on point. And Looney stepped up big, McKinley stepped up big, Cook gave him some valuable minutes, even Jarepko. So at the end of the day, I think Steve Kerr don't get enough credit. Yeah, obviously, you know, you have Steph, you have Draymond, you have Clay.
Should be the most exhausted team, Perk.
Absolutely.
Golden State should be shot, and they look fresh.
Right, because they've been here before, so they know what it takes. You heard what Draymond Green said. You know, we heard what Draymond Green said. He lost 25 pounds. He lost 25 pounds towards the end of the season. Why? Because he knew he needed to lose that weight to be able to sustain and be able to play at a high level through these whole playoffs.
I want you to go back to your career. You said something interesting. You talked about its guts and its will. Were you ever in a playoff series, and you were in a lot of them, that you knew – everybody on the floor was shot.
Yes, I remember. I mean, it was, and I was hurt. That's the sad part about it. It was Game 7, NBA Finals, Celtics versus Lakers, and I mean, everyone was tired.
You could see it.
Yeah, you could see it. I mean, you traveling from, you know, the 6-hour plane ride back and forth, time change and everything. So, on both sides, I think like that game, everybody shot horrible except for Ron Artest.
I remember that.
Yeah, except for Ron Artest. So, you know, it came down to will. Like, you know, at the end of the day, I always say, yeah, guys look at Ron Artest and that game and he had 20 and 10 or whatever. But people don't understand, Kobe had like 18 rebounds. Like, and I think like 6 of them was offensive. Like, that's will. Like, that's not, and he was 6-for-24 shooting.
He had a terrible game.
Exactly,
seven.
But he did other things, and it comes down to that tests your heart, your conditioning, and who wanted the most. Like I said before,
so you know LeBron and KD were showing pictures for our radio audience of Kendrick with his arm around KD and next to LeBron James, and you were always one of those veterans. You were a tough guy. Players respected you. Stars respected you. Stars would ask you questions. They listened to you. So I'm hearing all this stuff about KD, and my takeaway is, listen, man, you keep telling me he's going to the Knicks, Brooklyn, Lakers, Clippers. They all got issues. They either got a weak roster, an owner I don't trust, not much of a history I can rely on.
Right.
Like, I mean, take me inside of KD. Do you think he's got it all figured out?
Right now, I think KD just living in the moment. I don't know. I don't think KD know what he want to do. But on the flip side of it, if I'm KD, I think I would really consider going to the Clippers.
How come?
I think because the Clippers are with the new ownership. I love what he's doing. The front office with Lawrence Frank and
Michael Winger
are doing a great job. Doc did a a hell of a job this year with this group of guys.
May have been his best coaching job.
Yes. By the way, he told me that was his second favorite team to the 2008 Celtics. I mean, because guys bought in. He said he didn't want the season to end. It was so fun. And to me, you look at the Clipper organization, even adding Jerry West, the legend, I mean, you look at them and it's like,
smart.
They stability, man. And it's like, yeah, this is a franchise. And you can see Kevin Durant going there. It's in L.A. You know, he could flourish and be himself, and it would be his team. And I would love to see KD play for a coach like Doc Rivers, you know, assistant coaches and Rex and Sam Cassell and, you know, Omar Hill, great group of guys. And the way Doc draws up plays and his play calling, I could just imagine the plays he would draw for Kevin Durant.
By the way, listen, Magic's a legend. Lights up a room. But Magic, even Magic, like the nicest guy in the world, kind of turned and pivoted on the Lakers this week. I if I'm LeBron and I'm watching that, I'm thinking, that was my one guy I know I could invite into a room with me and we could sell.
Right.
Like, if you were LeBron this morning, are you a little frightened about the next 2 years of this contract before you have an option?
I don't know if I'm frightened. I'm more so confused. But because for the simple fact, it's like, okay, what's really going on? And then everybody have this thing of saying, oh, Bron runs the organization. Well, I tell you what. If things go wrong this year, you can't point the finger at LeBron. I tell you that. But I actually talked to LeBron yesterday, and he's in good spirits. He's working out. And like he said, he only could control what he could control. And
he was in a good mood?
He wasn't in a bad mood, you know what I mean? So it wasn't like he was just depressed. But at the end of the day, I was with Magic on how he handled the situation, honestly. I thought he addressed the problem. He took a lot of heat over the last couple of weeks about it. And he came out and he had to protect himself and he had to protect his brand. Nobody from the Lakers did.
No, that's fair. That was kind of our takeaway. Joy and I are like, listen, people were calling you a fool for 3 weeks. You literally have a $1 billion brand.
Right.
You gotta protect your brand.
Absolutely. And Magic is a great guy. Everybody loves Magic. I love Magic. I mean, you have to love Magic because he's a guy that is willing to help others be successful. If you ever meet him, he's not a guy who want to hold everything to himself. No, if he have something, a business idea, you can go ask him, and he'll drop the knowledge to you. So at the end of the day, like I said, in the organization, the problem I have with some NBA organizations is that they hire their friends.
Oh yeah,
and not
competent people,
right? And not the right people for the job. And at the end of the day, you know. I just hate that for Magic, but we all know about Rob Pelinka, his character. I mean,
he
it's been that way since he was an agent.
Yep.
And it's hard for
anybody
to say anything about it. Perfect
ending. We got to go. Great seeing you.
Thank you, Colin.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
I was saying this. I was watching Milwaukee and Toronto last night, and my takeaway is these teams – it's the same team. They both have one great star, and then everybody crosses their fingers to see what other B-minus player becomes an A player for a night. But one of the things that is not working in Milwaukee's favor, forget the loss last night. Toronto is a veteran team. Okay, Mark Gasol is 34. Kyle Lowry's 33. Serge Ibaka, regardless of what everybody tells you, is 30 and older. Danny Green is now 31. Kawhi's a veteran at 27. So this is an old, veteran, crafty team. It's not a brilliant team. It's not a wildly talented team. It's a veteran team. Veteran teams are smart. So that's what Toronto is. They're an old, sage, veteran team with one star. Well, Golden State, similarly, is just an old, crafty, veteran team with much better players. But the advantage that Toronto gives Golden State is, hey, veteran teams are smart enough. They may not have the talent or the depth of Milwaukee, but they'll show you how to beat Milwaukee. Because veteran teams will win this series intellectually. They may not win it physically. So two things are happening in this series that Toronto is exposing Milwaukee. now that you play them over and over? Because the regular season is different than the playoffs because Toronto gets to play Milwaukee over and over and over with all these crafty veterans. First thing is, get in Giannis's head. Foul him. Initiate contact. Get him to the free throw line. He is struggling emotionally at the free throw line. He's shooting 66% in the playoffs at the free throw line. So this crafty veteran team in Toronto is like, they don't have Golden State skill, but it's a bunch of guys that are close to 30, 30 or older than 30. Golden State's just a much more talented version of Toronto and really smart, and Toronto's really smart. So get Giannis to the free throw line because he has lost his mojo and he's not confident and he is now avoiding contact. When you play him, create contact. Don't be afraid late in games. Get him to the free throw line. And the second thing they're proving is that Bucks' great defense, it's big. It ain't that quick. Move, pass, move, cut, pass, which is, by the way, what Golden State does better than anybody in the league. Toronto is now making 14 threes against Milwaukee per game. They were making 9 against Philadelphia. They've added 40% threes. Why? I think Philadelphia tends to be a little longer, maybe a little more athletic, whatever it is. But Toronto's giving you a roadmap to Golden State, which is initiate contact with Giannis, get him at the free throw line, get into his head, because once he misses a free throw, it multiplies. And secondly, move, cut, move, cut, move, cut. Milwaukee can struggle to get out to that three-point line. They can struggle with it. And it's just not good news. I think Toronto's giving, and I do think Milwaukee wins this series. I think they're deeper. I think they're a better basketball team. I think Toronto's the smarter veteran team. I think Milwaukee's longer. I think Milwaukee's bigger. I think Milwaukee's deeper. But man, are they the perfect team to show Golden State how to beat them. The old smart veteran teams, they'll just give you roadmaps. Do this, do this. Rinse and repeat.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
By the way, I got to show you something with Aaron Rodgers yesterday. Aaron Rodgers, Joy said it earlier, he can be a little cranky. I was watching an interview with Jerry Seinfeld the other day, and he goes, you know, I can just own it. I'm a little cranky. I'm old and cranky, and there is a component to Aaron Rodgers where he's a smart guy, and he can be a little pushback and a little moody, and I know guys that have played with him, and they're like, you know, Aaron's a little moody, whatever. It's not the end of the world, but anybody notice Aaron Rodgers, the new Aaron Rodgers, the happier Aaron Rodgers? Tell me in the last 4 years, have you ever gotten this Aaron Rodgers? He's talking about Game of Thrones at a press conference.
He come down to the inn, and Tyrion says, the person with the best story is Bran, who, by the way, 3 episodes ago said he wasn't Bran Stark anymore. No, Jon had a better story. Dany had a better story. Arya had a better story. Sansa had a better story. Tyrion had a better story. Varys had a better story. Bronn, a lot better story. Jaime, better story. Cersei, probably better stories. Any Baratheon, better story. No. Look, I love the opportunity to be in the show, which most people probably don't think I was, but I was there. I love the show, but, you know, the writers are also doing Star Wars, so I think they might have been a little busy this last season.
Fun, loose, happy. I'll say it again. I like the Packers to win the NFC North. I like the Steelers to win the AFC North. We've got a new challenger, Mitch Trubisky and the Bears. Baker Mayfield and the Browns. Everybody's falling in love with the new quarterbacks. Go, Trubisky and Baker Mayfield. Ben, and this is just human instinct, Ben and Aaron want to prove they want to win the breakup. Ben wants to prove Antonio Brown's the reason a 7-2-1 Steeler team went into the tank. And Aaron wants to prove, hey, I should have 2 more Super Bowls. That McCarthy guy was a lead weight. But, I mean, you can't tell me Aaron just sounds different. He looks different. He looks happier. I'm watching Peter King last week had his top 20 NFL teams. He had Green Bay at 14. For the first time in my life, people are sleeping on the Packers. I think Aaron wins the MVP. I do. And I think Green Bay wins the division. And I think they're a 10-11 win team. And, you know, I don't know if I trust him to win a Super Bowl with Matt LaFleur. I don't know. I got to watch him coach. But this Aaron feels lighter, looser, happier. and seeking redemption.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
A lot of things in sports. We got a lot of dynasties now, which means a lot of things in sports kind of are predictable, right? We know New England's going to be fine. You know, Clemson, Alabama are going to be around at the end of the season. UConn women's basketball, Duke, you know, Kentucky's. We know Red Sox, Dodgers once again, Houston appear to be very good. But, you know, I'm sitting here driving in today and I'm thinking there is some craziness going on in sports. And I guess this is why I love sports, is that years and years ago, a radio general manager came to me and said, hey, would you think about doing politics and getting out of sports? And I said, you know, I said, the thing that's great about sports is night to night, just crazy stuff happens. Like, you don't even know what's going on. Like, and I thought this morning, think about what's happening now. How the world in sports has been turned upside down. We have entered into a bizarro world. Now, just think about these. The most feared player in the NBA is 6'3" and 187 pounds. Steph Curry. He just broke Shaq record for most points in a four-game sweep. He averaged 37 a game against Portland. Not only that, but he is doing something that has not happened in the last two decades. Without Durant, Golden State, led by Steph, has come back from down 15 points or more to win in three straight games. He is messing with teams' heads. The most feared guy in this league is 6'3", 188, wet. Number two, the most desired free agent destination in Los Angeles is inarguably the Clippers? Yeah. Okay. Reports now have, according to yesterday, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, and Jimmy Butler all interested in the Clippers. Between Steve Ballmer, the billionaire from Microsoft, the logo Jerry West, who's always been tight with Kevin Durant, Michael Winger, Doc Rivers, and a hustling group of role players that beat the Warriors twice with Kevin Durant in the playoffs, Clippers have more, according to reports, top free agents interested in them. How about number three? The last 12 years, the face of the NBA is LeBron James, and he has vanished. He did not speak at the Frank Vogel press conference. He is not in the playoffs for the first time since 2005. He won't be in the finals for the first time since 2010. And when he got hurt, you know, around the All-Star break, he literally, and it's hard to do when you're LeBron in the entertainment capital of the world, sort of disappeared. The face of the league has vanished. How about number four? The angriest, most vindictive man in sports is Magic Johnson? The nicest guy in the league, the human LinkedIn, who was not only probably the most fun athlete to ever play with, the most giving, charitable guy in the NBA, went on television and threw his beloved Lakers onto a bus. He now named Rob Pelinka as the backstabber, went out and publicly said, that Luke Walton guy, I wanted him out of there. Decent, nice, giving, charitable, beloved, the angriest, most vindictive man in sports is currently, probably won't last long, Magic Johnson. How about this in the bizarro world of sports? One of the top Super Bowl contenders, and if you don't say that, you're a hater, the Cleveland Browns. They're currently 14-1 to win the Super Bowl. For the record, those are the fifth best odds in the entire National Football League. That's better than Green Bay. Only the Patriots, Chiefs, Rams, and Saints have better odds. The Steelers, who have not trailed the Browns in the division since like the late 80s, are 25-1, and that's with a Hall of Fame coach, a Hall of Fame quarterback, three Pro Bowlers on the offensive line, a Pro Bowler in Juju Smith-Schuster, and James Conner made the Pro Bowl. That's just their offensive weapons. And if you don't say Cleveland is the elite, trust me on this, I say it from experience, they'll come after you on Twitter. And finally, in our bizarro world of sports, Canada's best hope of winning a title is not in hockey. It's in basketball. Yeah. The Raptors are now two wins away from the NBA Finals. Only one Canadian team has made the Stanley Cup Final. This is remarkable. In the past decade, do you know who that is? I think some of you in the Pacific Northwest will remember it was that great Canucks team. The 1993 Montreal Canadiens are actually the last Canadian team to win the Cup. Is that right? That's what it says here. That's what my producer Andrew put on. Isn't that crazy? That's Canada's best hope in this bizarro world.
When you say it like that, it does sound bizarre.
So think about this. The NBA, in review, the NBA's most feared player is 187-pound Steph Curry. The Clippers now are the best NBA free agent destination in Los Angeles, easily. LeBron, the face of the league, has vanished. Magic's the angriest, most vindictive guy in sports. The Browns are, without question, according to Vegas, a Super Bowl contender. And Canada's best title hopes are in basketball and not hockey.
We're living in the upside down.